This is Audible.
Books on Tape presents The Sound and the Fury by William Faulkner. Read by Grover Gardner. April 7th, 1928. Through the fence, between the curling flower spaces, I could see them hitting. They were coming toward where the flag was, and I went along the fence. Luster was hunting in the grass by the flower tree. They took the flag out, and they were hitting. Then they put the flag back, and they went to the table, and he hit, and the other hit. Then they went on, and I went along the fence. Luster came away from the flower tree, and we went along the fence, and they stopped, and we stopped, and I looked through the fence while Luster was hunting in the grass.
"Here, Caddy!"
He hit. They went away across the pasture. I held to the fence and watched them going away.
"Listen at you now," Luster said. "Ain't you something, 33 years old, going on that way, after I done went all the way to town to buy you that cake? Hush up that moanin'. Ain't you going to help me find that quarter so I can go to the show tonight?"
They were hitting little across the pasture. I went back along the fence to where the flag was. It flapped on the bright grass and the trees.
"Come on," Luster said. "We done look there. They ain't no more coming right now. Let's go down to the branch and find that quarter before them niggers finds it."
It was red, flapping on the pasture. Then there was a bird slanting and tilting on it. Luster threw. The flag flapped on the bright grass and the trees. I held to the fence.
"Shut up that moanin'," Luster said. "I can't make them come if they ain't comin', can I? If you don't hush up, Mammy ain't gonna have no birthday for you. If you don't hush, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to eat that cake all up. Eat them candles, too. Eat all them 33 candles. Come on, let's go down to the branch. I got to find my quarter. Maybe we can find one of they balls. Here they is, way over yonder, see?"
He came to the fence and pointed his arm.
"See them? They ain't coming back here no more. Come on."
We went along the fence and came to the garden fence, where our shadows were. My shadow was higher than Luster's on the fence. We came to the broken place and went through it.
"Wait a minute," Luster said. "You snagged on that nail again. Can't you never crawl through here without snagging on that nail?"
Caddy uncaught me and we crawled through. "Uncle Maury said not to let anybody see us, so we better stoop over," Caddy said. "Stoop over, Benji, like this, see?" We stooped over and crossed the garden where the flowers rasped and rattled against us. The ground was hard. We climbed the fence where the pigs were grunting and snuffing. "I expect they're sorry because one of them got killed today," Caddy said. The ground was hard, churned and knotted. "Keep your hands in your pockets," Caddy said, "or they'll get froze. You don't want your hands froze on Christmas, do you?"
"It's too cold out there," Verse said. "You don't want to go outdoors."
"What is it now?" Mother said.
"He want to go outdoors," Verse said.
"Let him go," Uncle Maury said.
"It's too cold," Mother said. "He'd better stay in. Benjamin, stop that now."
"It won't hurt him," Uncle Maury said.
"You, Benjamin," Mother said. "If you don't be good, you'll have to go to the kitchen."
"Mammy say keep him out the kitchen today," Verse said. "She say she got all that cooking to get done."
"Let him go, Caroline," Uncle Maury said. "You'll worry yourself sick over him."
"I know it," Mother said. "It's a judgment on me. I sometimes wonder."
I know, Uncle Maury said. "You must keep your strength up. I'll make you a toddy."
"It just upsets me that much more," Mother said. "Don't you know it does?"
"You'll feel better," Uncle Maury said. "Wrap him up, good boy, and take him out for a while."
Uncle Maury went away. Verse went away. "Please hush," Mother said. "We're trying to get you out as fast as we can. I don't want you to get sick."
Verse put my overshoes and overcoat on, and we took my cap and went out. Uncle Maury was putting the bottle away in the sideboard in the dining room.
"Keep him out about half an hour, boy," Uncle Maury said. "Keep him in the yard now."
"Yes, sir,"
Verse said. "We don't never let him get off the place."
We went outdoors. The sun was cold and bright.
"Where you heading for?" Verse said. "You don't think you going to town, does you?"
We went through the rattling leaves. The gate was cold.
"You better keep them hands in your pockets," Verse said. "You get them froze onto that gate, then what you do? Why don't you wait for them in the house?"
He put my hands into my pockets. I could hear him rattling in the leaves. I could smell the cold. The gate was cold.
"Here's some hickey nuts. Hoo-wee, get up that tree. Look here at this squirrel, Benji."
I couldn't feel the gate at all, but I could smell the bright cold.
"You better put them hands back in your pockets."
Caddy was walking. Then she was running, her book satchel swinging and jouncing behind her.
"Hello, Benji," Caddy said.
She opened the gate and came in and stooped down. Caddy smelled like leaves.
"Did you come to meet me?" she said. "Did you come to meet Caddy? What did you let him get his hands so cold for, Verge?"
"I told him to keep them in his pockets," Verge said, holding on to that iron gate.
"Did you come to meet Caddy?" she said, rubbing my hands. "What is it? What are you trying to tell Caddy?"
Caddy smelled like trees and like when she says we were asleep.
"What are you moaning about?" Luster said. "You can watch them again when we get to the branch. Here, here's you a Jimson weed."
He gave me the flower. We went through the fence, into the lot.
"What is it?" Caddy said. "What are you trying to tell Caddy? Did they send him out, Verge?"
"Couldn't keep him in," Verge said. "He kept on until they let him go, and he come right straight down here, looking through the gate."
"What is it?" Caddy said. "Did you think it would be Christmas when I came home from school? Is that what you thought? Christmas is the day after tomorrow. Santa Claus, Benji, Santa Claus. Come on, let's run to the house and get warm."
She took my hand, and we ran through the bright rustling leaves. We ran up the steps and out of the bright cold into the dark cold. Uncle Maury was putting the bottle back in the sideboard. He called Caddy. Caddy said,
"Take him into the fire, Verge."
"Go with Verge," she said. "I'll come in a minute."
We went to the fire. Mother said,
"Is he cold, Verge?"
"No'm," Verge said.
"Take his overcoat and overshoes off," Mother said. "How many times do I have to tell you not to bring him into the house with his overshoes on?"
"Yes'm," Verge said. "Hold still now." He took my overshoes off and unbuttoned my coat.
Caddy said, "Wait, Verge. Can't he go out again, Mother? I want him to go with me."
"You'd better leave him here," Uncle Maury said. "He's been out enough today."
"I think you'd both better stay in," Mother said. "It's getting colder, Dilsey says."
"Oh, Mother,"
Caddy said.
"Nonsense," Uncle Maury said. "She's been in school all day. She needs the fresh air. Run along, Candace."
"Let him go, Mother," Caddy said. "Please, you know he'll cry."
"Then why did you mention it before him?" Mother said. "Why did you come in here? To give him some excuse to worry me again? You've been out enough today. I think you'd better sit down here and play with him."
"Let them go, Caroline," Uncle Maury said. "A little cold won't hurt them. Remember, you've got to keep your strength up."
"I know," Mother said. "Nobody knows how I dread Christmas. Nobody knows. I am not one of those women who can stand things. I wish for Jason's and the children's sakes I was stronger."
"You must do the best you can and not let them worry you," Uncle Maury said. "Run along, you two. But don't stay out long now. Your mother will worry."
"Yes, sir," Caddy said. "Come on, Benji. We're going outdoors again."
She buttoned my coat, and we went toward the door.
"Are you going to take that baby out without his overshoes?" Mother said. "Do you want to make him sick with the house full of company?"
"I forgot," Caddy said. "I thought he had them on."
We went back.
"You must think," Mother said.
"Hold still now," Verge said. He put my overshoes on.
"Some day I'll be gone, and you'll have to think for him."
"Now stomp," Verse said.
"Come here and kiss Mother, Benjamin."
Caddy took me to Mother's chair, and Mother took my face in her hands, and then she held me against her.
"My poor baby," she said.
She let me go.
"You and Verse take good care of him, honey."
"Yes'm,"
Caddy said. We went out. Caddy said, "You needn't go, Verse. I'll keep him for a while."
"All right," Verse said. "I ain't going out in that cold for no fun."
He went on, and we stopped in the hall, and Caddy knelt and put her arms around me and her cold, bright face against mine. She smelled like trees.
"You're not a poor baby, are you? Are you? You've got your Caddy. Haven't you got your Caddy?"
"Can't you shut up that moanin' and slobberin'?" Luster said. "Ain't you ashamed of yourself making all this racket?"
We passed the carriage house where the carriage was. It had a new wheel.
"Get in now and set still until your ma come,"
Dilsey said. She shoved me into the carriage. T.P. held the reins.
"Claire, I don't see how come Jason won't get a new surrey," Dilsey said. "This thing gonna fall to pieces under you all some day. Look at them wheels."
Mother came out, pulling her veil down. She had some flowers.
"Where's Roscus?" she said. "Roscus can't lift his arms today," Dilsey said. "T.P. can drive all right."
"I'm afraid to," Mother said.
"It seems to me you all could furnish me with a driver for the carriage once a week. It's little enough I ask, Lord knows. You know just as well as me that Roscus got the rheumatism too bad to do more than he have to, Miss Caroline," Dilsey said. "You come on and get in now. T.P. can drive you just as good as Roscus."
"I'm afraid to," Mother said, "with the baby."
Dilsey went up the steps.
"You calling that thing a baby," she said. She took Mother's arm.
"A man big as T.P. Come on now, if you're going."
"I'm afraid to," Mother said.
They came down the steps, and Dilsey helped Mother in.
"Perhaps it'll be the best thing for all of us," Mother said.
"Ain't you ashamed talking that way," Dilsey said. "Don't you know it'll take more than an 18-year-old nigger to make Queenie run away? She older than him and Benji put together. And don't you start no projecting with Queenie, you hear me, T.P.? If you don't drive to suit Miss Caroline, I'm gonna put Roscus on you. He ain't too tied up to do that."
"Yes'm," T.P. said.
"I just know something will happen," Mother said. "Stop, Benjamin."
"Give him a flower to hold," Dilsey said. "That's what he wantin'." She reached her hand in.
"No, no," Mother said. "You'll have them all scattered."
"You hold them," Dilsey said. "I'll get him one out."
She gave me a flower, and her hand went away. "Go on now, for Quentin see you and have to go too," Dilsey said.
"Where is she?" Mother said.
"She down to the house playing with Luster," Dilsey said. "Go on, T.P., drive that surrey like Roscus told you now."
"Yes'm," T.P. said. "Hum up, Queenie."
"Quentin," Mother said, "don't let—"
"Course I is," Dilsey said.
The carriage jolted and crunched on the drive.
"I'm afraid to go and leave Quentin," Mother said. "I'd better not go. T.P.,"
we went through the gate where it didn't jolt anymore. T.P. hit Queenie with the whip.
"You T.P.," Mother said.
"Got to get her gone," T.P. said. "Keep her wake up till we get back to the barn."
"Turn around," Mother said. "I'm afraid to go and leave Quentin."
"Can't turn here," T.P. said.
Then it was broader.
"Can't you turn here?" Mother said.
"All right," T.P. said.
We began to turn.
"You T.P.," Mother said, clutching me.
"I got to turn around somehow," T.P. said.
"Whoa, Queenie."
We stopped.
"You'll turn us over," Mother said.
"What you want to do then?" T.P. said.
"I'm afraid for you to try to turn around," Mother said.
"Get up, Queenie," T.P. said. We went on.
"I just know Dilsey will let something happen to Quentin while I'm gone," Mother said.
"We must hurry back."
"Hum up there," T.P. said.
He hit Queenie with the whip.
"You T.P.," Mother said, clutching me.
I could hear Queenie's feet, and the bright shapes went smooth and steady on both sides, the shadows of them flowing across Queenie's back. They went on like the bright tops of wheels. Then those on one side stopped at the tall white post where the soldier was. But on the other side they went on smooth and steady, but a little slower.
"What do you want?"
Jason said. He had his hands in his pockets and a pencil behind his ear.
"We're going to the cemetery," Mother said.
"All right," Jason said. "I don't aim to stop you, do I? Was that all you wanted with me, just to tell me that?"
"I know you won't come," Mother said. "I'd feel safer if you would."
"Safe from what?"
Jason said. Father and Quentin can't hurt you.
Mother put her handkerchief under her veil.
Stop it, Mother, Jason said. Do you want to get that damn loony to bawling in the middle of the square? Drive on, T.P.
Hum up, Queenie, T.P. said.
It's a judgment on me, Mother said, but I'll be gone too soon.
Here, Jason said.
Whoa,
T.P. said. Jason said, Uncle Maury's drawn on you for 50. What do you want to do about it?
Why ask me? Mother said. I don't have any say-so. I try not to worry you and Dilsey. I'll be gone soon, and then you...
Go on, T.P., Jason said.
Hum up, Queenie, T.P. said.
The shapes flowed on. The ones on the other side began again, bright and fast and smooth, like when Caddy says we are going to sleep.
Cry, baby, Luster said. Ain't you shamed?
We went through the barn. The stalls were all open.
You ain't got no spotted pony to ride now, Luster said.
The floor was dry and dusty. The roof was falling. The slanting holes were full of spinning yellow.
What do you want to go that way for? You want to get your head knocked off with one of them balls?
Keep your hands in your pockets, Caddy said, or they'll be froze. You don't want your hands froze on Christmas, do you? We went around the barn. The big cow and the little one were standing in the door, and we could hear Prince and Queenie and Fancy stomping inside the barn. If it wasn't so cold, we'd ride Fancy, Caddy said. But it's too cold to hold on today. Then we could see the branch where the smoke was blowing. That's where they are killing the pig, Caddy said. We can come back by there and see them. We went down the hill.
You want to carry the letter? Caddy said. You can carry it.
She took the letter out of her pocket and put it in mine.
It's a Christmas present, Caddy said.
Uncle Maury is going to surprise Mrs. Patterson with it. We got to give it to her without letting anybody see it. Keep your hands in your pockets good now.
We came to the branch.
It's froze, Caddy said. Look.
She broke the top of the water and held a piece of it against my face.
Ice. That means how cold it is.
She helped me across, and we went up the hill.
We can't even tell Mother and Father. You know what I think it is? I think it's a surprise for Mother and Father and Mr. Patterson both, because Mr. Patterson sent you some candy. Do you remember when Mr. Patterson sent you some candy last summer?
There was a fence. The vine was dry and the wind rattled on it.
Only I don't see why Uncle Maury didn't send Versh, Caddy said. Versh won't tell.
Mrs. Patterson was looking out the window.
You wait here, Caddy said. Wait right here now. I'll be back in a minute. Give me the letter.
She took the letter out of my pocket.
Keep your hands in your pockets.
She climbed the fence with the letter in her hand and went through the brown rattling flowers. Mrs. Patterson came to the door and opened it and stood there.
Mr. Patterson was chopping in the green flowers. He stopped chopping and looked at me. Mrs. Patterson came across the garden, running. When I saw her eyes, I began to cry.
You idiot, Mrs. Patterson said. I told him never to send you alone again. Give it to me, quick.
Mr. Patterson came fast with the hoe. Mrs. Patterson leaned across the fence, reaching her hand. She was trying to climb the fence.
Give it to me, she said. Give it to me.
Mr. Patterson climbed the fence. He took the letter. Mrs. Patterson's dress was caught on the fence. I saw her eyes again, and I ran down the hill.
"'There ain't nothing over yonder but houses,' Luster said. "'We going down to the branch.'
They were washing down at the branch. One of them was singing. I could smell the clothes flapping and the smoke blowing across the branch.
"'You stay down here,' Luster said. "'You ain't got no business up yonder. Them folks hit you sure.'
"'What he want to do?'
"'He don't know what he want to do,' Luster said. "'He think he want to go up yonder where they knocking that ball.' You sit down here and play with your Jimson weed. Look at them chillin' playin' in the branch if you got to look at something. How come you can't behave yourself like folks?
I sat down on the bank where they were washing and the smoke blowing blue.
Is you all seen anything of a quarter down here?
Luster said.
What quarter?
The one I had here this morning, Luster said. I lost it somewhere. It fell through this here hole in my pocket. If I don't find it, I can't go to the show tonight. Where'd you get a quarter, boy? Find it in white folks' pocket while they ain't looking?
Got it at the getting place, Luster said. Plenty more where that one come from. Only I got to find that one.
Is you all find it yet?
I ain't studying no quarter. I got my own business to tend to.
Come on here, Luster said. Help me look for it.
He wouldn't know a quarter if he was to see it, would he?
He can help just the same, Luster said. You all going to the show tonight?
Don't talk to me about no show. Time I get done over this here tub, I'd be too tired to lift my hand to do nothing.
I bet you be there, Luster said. I bet you was there last night. I bet you all be right there when that tent open.
Be enough niggers there without me was last night.
Niggers money good as white folks, I reckon.
White folks gives nigger money because no first white man comes along with a band, they're going to get it all back so nigger can go to work for some more.
Ain't nobody going to make you go to that show.
Ain't yet. Ain't thought of it, I reckon.
What you got against white folks?
Ain't got nothing against them. I goes my way and lets white folks go theirs. I ain't studying that show.
Got a man in it can play a tune on a saw, play it like a banjo.
You go last night, Luster said. I gone tonight, if I can find why I lost that quarter.
You gonna take him with you, I reckon.
Me, Luster said. You reckon I'd be found anywhere with him time he start bellerin'?
What does you do when he start bellerin'?
I whips him, Luster said.
He sat down and rolled up his overalls. They played in the branch.
You all found any balls yet? Luster said.
Ain't you talking, biggity? I bet you better not let your grandmammy hear you talking like that.
Luster got into the branch where they were playing. He hunted in the water along the bank.
I had it when we was down here this morning, Luster said.
Whereabouts you lose it?
Right out this here hole in my pocket, Luster said.
They hunted in the branch. Then they all stood up quick and stopped. Then they splashed and fought in the branch. Luster got it, and they squatted in the water, looking up the hill through the bushes.
"Where is they?" Luster said.
"Ain't in sight yet."
Luster put it in his pocket. They came down the hill.
"Did a ball come down here?"
"It ought to be in the water. Didn't any of you boys see it or hear it?"
"Ain't heard nothing come down here," Luster said. "Heard something hit that tree up yonder. Don't know which way it went."
They looked in the branch.
"Hell! Look along the branch. It came down here. I saw it."
They looked along the branch. Then they went back up the hill.
"Have you got that ball?" the boy said.
"What I want with it?" Luster said. "I ain't seen no ball."
The boy got in the water. He went on. He turned and looked at Luster again. He went on down the branch.
The man said, "Caddy," up the hill.
The boy got out of the water and went up the hill.
"Now just listen at you," Luster said. "Hush up."
"What he moanin' about now?"
"Lord knows," Luster said. "He just starts like that. He been at it all mornin', 'cause it his birthday, I reckon."
"How old he?"
"He 33," Luster said. 33 this mornin'."
"You mean he been 3 years old 30 years?"
"I goin' by what Mammy say," Luster said. "I don't know. We goin' to have 33 candles on the cake anyway. Little cake. Won't hardly hold them."
"Hush up. Come on back here."
He came and caught my arm.
"You old loony," he said. "You want me to whip you?"
"I bet you will.
I has done it."
"Hush now," Luster said.
"Ain't I told you you can't go up there? They'll knock your head clean off with one of them balls. Come on here."
He pulled me back.
"Sit down."
I sat down, and he took off my shoes and rolled up my trousers.
"Now get in that water and play and see can you stop that slobberin' and moanin'."
I hushed and got in the water, and Roscus came and said to come to supper, and Caddy said, "It's not supper time yet, I'm not gone." She was wet. We were playing in the branch, and Caddy squatted down and got her dress wet, and Verse said, "Your mama's gonna whip you for getting your dress wet."
"She's not gonna do any such thing," Caddy said.
"How do you know?" Quentin said.
"That's all right how I know," Caddy said. "How do you know?"
"She said she was," Quentin said. "Besides, I'm older than you."
"I'm 7 years old," Caddy said. "I guess I know."
"I'm older than that," Quentin said. I go to school, don't I, Versh?
I'm going to school next year, Caddy said. When it comes, ain't I, Versh?
You know she whip you when you get your dress wet, Versh said.
It's not wet, Caddy said.
She stood up in the water and looked at her dress.
I'll take it off, she said. Then it'll dry.
I bet you won't, Quentin said.
I bet I will, Caddy said.
I bet you better not, Quentin said.
Caddy came to Versh and me and turned her back.
Unbutton it, Versh, she said.
Don't you do it, Versh, Quentin said.
Tain't none of my dress, Versh said.
You unbutton it, Versh, Caddy said, or I'll tell Dilsey what you did yesterday.
So Versh unbuttoned it.
You just take your dress off, Quentin said.
Caddy took her dress off and threw it on the bank.
Then she didn't have on anything but her bodice and drawers, and Quentin slapped her, and she slipped and fell down in the water. When she got up, she began to splash water on Quentin, and Quentin splashed water on Caddy. Some of it splashed on Versh and me, and Versh picked me up and put me on the bank. He said he was going to tell on Caddy and Quentin, and then Quentin and Caddy began to splash water at Versh. He got behind a bush.
"I'm going to tell Mammy on you all," Versh said.
Quentin climbed up the bank and tried to catch Versh, but Versh ran away and Quentin couldn't. When Quentin came back, Versh stopped and hollered that he was going to tell. Caddy told him that if he wouldn't tell, they'd let him come back. So Versh said he wouldn't, and they let him.
"Now I guess you're satisfied," Quentin said. "We'll both get whipped now."
"I don't care," Caddy said. "I'll run away."
"Yes, you will," Quentin said.
"I'll run away and never come back," Caddy said.
I began to cry. Caddy turned around and said, "Hush," so I hushed. Then they played in the branch. Jason was playing too. He was by himself further down the branch. Versh came around the bush and lifted me down into the water again. Caddy was all wet and muddy behind, and I started to cry, and she came and squatted in the water.
"Hush now," she said. "I'm not going to run away."
So I hushed. Caddy smelled like trees in the rain.
"What is the matter with you?" Luster said. "Can't you get done with that moanin' and play in the branch like folks? Why don't you take him on home? Didn't they told you not to take him off the place?"
"He still think they own this pasture," Luster said. "Can't nobody see down here from the house, no ways."
"We can, and folks don't like to look at a loony. Tain't no luck in it."
Roscus came and said to come to supper, and Caddy said it wasn't supper time yet.
"Yes, 'tis," Roscus said. "Dilsey say for you all to come on to the house. Bring them on, Versh."
He went up the hill where the cow was lowing.
"Maybe we'll be dry by the time we get to the house," Quentin said.
"It was all your fault," Caddy said. "I hope we do get whipped."
She put her dress on and Versh buttoned it.
"They won't know you got wet," Versh said. "It don't show on you, less me and Jason tells."
"Are you going to tell Jason?" Caddy said.
"Tell on who?" Jason said.
"He won't tell," Quentin said. "Will you, Jason?"
"I bet he does tell," Caddy said. "He'll tell Damity."
"He can't tell her," Quentin said. "She's sick. If we walk slow, it'll be too dark for them to see."
"I don't care whether they see or not," Caddy said. "I'm going to tell myself. You carry him up the hill, Versh."
"Jason won't tell," Quentin said. "You remember that bow and arrow I made you, Jason?"
"It's broke now," Jason said.
"Let him tell," Caddy said. "I don't give a cuss. Carry Mari up the hill, Versh."
Versh squatted, and I got on his back.
"See you all at the show tonight," Luster said. "Come on here. We got to find that quarter."
"If we go slow, it'll be dark when we get there," Quentin said.
"I'm not going slow," Caddy said.
We went up the hill, but Quentin didn't come. He was down at the branch when we got to where we could smell the pigs. They were grunting and snuffing in the trough in the corner. Jason came behind us with his hands in his pockets. Roscus was milking the cow in the barn door. The cows came jumping out of the barn.
"Go on," T.P. said. "Holler again. I'm going to holler myself. Hoo-wee!"
Quentin kicked T.P. again. He kicked T.P. into the trough where the pigs ate, and T.P. lay there.
"Hot dog," T.P. said. "Didn't he get me then? You see that white man kick me that time? Hooey!"
I wasn't crying, but I couldn't stop. I wasn't crying, but the ground wasn't still, and then I was crying. The ground kept sloping up, and the cows ran up the hill.
T.P. tried to get up. He fell down again, and the cows ran down the hill. Quentin held my arm, and we went toward the barn. Then the barn wasn't there, and we had to wait until it came back. I didn't see it come back. It came behind us, and Quentin set me down in the trough where the cows ate. I held on to it. It was going away, too, and I held to it. The cows ran down the hill again, across the door. I couldn't stop. Quentin and T.P. came up the hill, fighting. T.P. was falling down the hill, and Quentin dragged him up the hill. Quentin hit T.P. I couldn't stop.
"Stand up," Quentin said. "You stand right here. Don't you go away until I get back."
"Me and Benji going back to the wedding," T.P. said. "Hoo-wee!"
Quentin hit T.P. again. Then he began to thump T.P. against the wall. T.P. was laughing. Every time Quentin thumped him against the wall, he tried to say hooey, but he couldn't say it for laughing. I quit crying, but I couldn't stop. T.P. fell on me, and the barn door went away. It went down the hill, and T.P. was fighting by himself, and he fell down again. He was still laughing, and I couldn't stop, and I tried to get up, and I fell down, and I couldn't stop.
Verse said, "You sure done it now. I'll declare if you ain't shut up that yellin'."
T.P. was still laughing. He flopped on the door and laughed.
"Hoo-ee," he said. "Me and Benji gone back to the wedding. Sarsaparilla," T.P. said.
"Hush," Verse said.
"Where you get it?"
"Out the cellar," T.P. said.
"Hoo-ee."
"Hush up," Verse said. "Whereabouts in the cellar?"
"Anywhere," T.P. said.
He laughed some more.
"More'n 100 bottles left. More'n 1,000,000. Look out, nigger, I gonna holler."
Quentin said, "Lift him up." Verse lifted me up. "Drink this, Benji," Quentin said. The glass was hot.
"Hush now," Quentin said, "drink it."
"Sarsaparilla,"
T.P. said.
"Let me drink it, Mr. Quentin."
"You shut your mouth," Verse said. "Mr. Quentin, wear you out."
"Hold him, Verse," Quentin said. They held me. It was hot on my chin and on my shirt.
"Drink," Quentin said.
They held my head. It was hot inside me, and I began again. I was crying now, and something was happening inside me, and I cried more, and they held me until it stopped happening. Then I hushed. It was still going around, and then the shapes began. "Open the crib, Verse." They were going slow. "Spread those empty sacks on the floor." They were going faster, almost fast enough. "Now, pick up his feet." They went on, smooth and bright. I could hear T.P. laughing. I went on with them, up the bright hill. At the top of the hill, Verse put me down.
"Come on here, Quentin," he called,
looking back down the hill. Quentin was still standing there by the branch. He was chunking into the shadows where the branch was.
"Let the old skizzard stay there," Caddy said.
She took my hand, and we went on past the barn and through the gate. There was a frog on the brick walk, squatting in the middle of it. Caddy stepped over it and pulled me on.
"Come on, Maury,"
she said. It still squatted there until Jason poked at it with his toe.
"He'll make a wart on you," Verse said.
The frog hopped away.
"Come on, Maury,"
Caddy said. "They got company tonight," Verse said.
"How do you know?" Caddy said.
"With all them lights on," Verse said, "lightin' every window."
"I reckon we can turn all the lights on without company if we want to," Caddy said.
"I bet it's company," Verse said. "You all better go in the back and slip upstairs."
"I don't care," Caddy said. "I'll walk right in the parlor where they are."
"I bet your pappy whip you if you do," Verse said.
"I don't care," Caddy said. "I'll walk right in the parlor. I'll walk right in the dining room and eat supper."
"Where you sit," Verse said.
"I'd sit in Damity's chair," Caddy said. "She eats in bed."
"I'm hungry," Jason said. He passed us and ran on up the walk. He had his hands in his pockets and he fell down. Verse went and picked him up.
"If you keep them hands out your pockets, you could stay on your feet," Verse said. "You can't never get them out in time to catch yourself fat as you is."
Father was standing by the kitchen steps.
"Where's Quentin?" he said.
"He coming up the walk," Verse said.
Quentin was coming slow. His shirt was a white blur.
"Oh," Father said.
Light fell down the steps on him.
"Caddy and Quentin threw water on each other," Jason said.
We waited.
They did, Father said. Quentin came, and Father said, You can eat supper in the kitchen tonight. He stooped and took me up, and the light came tumbling down the steps on me, too, and I could look down at Caddy and Jason and Quentin and Versh. Father turned toward the steps. You must be quiet, though, he said.
Why must we be quiet, Father? Caddy said. Have we got company?
Yes, Father said.
I told you they was company, Versh said.
You did not, Caddy said. I was the one that said there was. I said I would...
Hush, Father said. They hushed, and Father opened the door, and we crossed the back porch and went into the kitchen. Dilsey was there, and Father put me in the chair and closed the apron down and pushed it to the table where supper was. It was steaming up.
You mind Dilsey now, Father said. Don't let them make any more noise than they can help, Dilsey.
Yes, sir, Dilsey said. Father went away.
Remember to mind Dilsey now, he said behind us.
I leaned my face over where the supper was. It steamed up on my face.
Let them mind me tonight, Father, Caddy said.
I won't, Jason said. I'm going to mind Dilsey.
You'll have to if Father says so, Caddy said. Let them mind me, Father.
I won't, Jason said. I won't mind you.
Hush, Father said. You all mind Caddy, then. When they are done, bring them up the back stairs, Dilsey.
Yes, sir, Dilsey said.
There, Caddy said. Now I guess you'll mind me.
You all hush now, Dilsey said. You got to be quiet tonight.
Why do we have to be quiet tonight?
Caddy whispered.
Never you mind, Dilsey said. You'll know in the Lord's own time.
She brought my bowl. The steam from it came and tickled my face.
Come here, Versh, Dilsey said.
When is the Lord's own time, Dilsey? Caddy said.
It's Sunday, Quentin said. Don't you know anything?
Shh, Dilsey said.
Didn't Mr. Jason say for you all to be quiet? Eat your supper now.
Here, Versh, get his spoon.
Versh's hand came with the spoon into the bowl. The spoon came up to my mouth. The steam tickled into my mouth.
Then we quit eating, and we looked at each other, and we were quiet. And then we heard it again, and I began to cry.
What was that? Caddy said.
She put her hand on my hand.
That was Mother, Quentin said.
The spoon came up, and I ate. Then I cried again.
Hush, Caddy said.
But I didn't hush, and she came and put her arms around me. Dilsey went and closed both the doors, and then we couldn't hear it.
Hush now, Caddy said.
I hushed and ate. Quentin wasn't eating, but Jason was.
That was Mother, Quentin said.
He got up.
You sit right down, Dilsey said. They got company in there. You in them muddy clothes. You sit down too, Caddy, and get done eatin'.
She was crying, Quentin said.
It was somebody singin', Caddy said. Wasn't it, Dilsey?
You all eat your supper now, like Mr. Jason said, Dilsey said. You'll know in the Lord's own time.
Caddy went back to her chair.
I told you it was a party, she said.
Burr said, he done at all that.
Bring his bowl here, Dilsey said.
The bowl went away.
Dilsey, Caddy said, Quentin's not eating his supper. Hasn't he got to mind me?
Eat your supper, Quentin, Dilsey said. You all got to get done and get out of my kitchen.
I don't want any more supper, Quentin said.
You've got to eat if I say you have, Caddy said. Hasn't he, Dilsey?
The bowl steamed up to my face, and Versh's hand dipped the spoon in it, and the steam tickled into my mouth.
I don't want any more, Quentin said. How can they have a party when Dammit is sick?
They'll have it downstairs, Caddy said. She can come to the landing and see it. That's what I'm going to do when I get my nighty on.
Mother was crying, Quentin said. Wasn't she crying, Dilsey?
Don't you come pestering at me, boy, Dilsey said. I got to get supper for all them folks soon as you all get done eating.
After a while, even Jason was through eating, and he began to cry.
Now you got to tune up, Dilsey said.
He does it every night since Dammity was sick, and he can't sleep with her, Caddy said. Cry, baby.
I'm going to tell on you, Jason said.
He was crying.
You've already told, Caddy said. There's not anything else you can tell now.
You all needs to go to bed, Dilsey said.
She came and lifted me down and wiped my face and hands with a warm cloth.
Versh, can you get them up the back stairs quiet? You, Jason, shut up that crying.
"'It's too early to go to bed now,' Caddy said. "'We don't ever have to go to bed this early.'
"'You is tonight,' Dilsey said. "'Your pa say for you to come right on upstairs when you at supper. "'You heard him.'
"'He said to mind me,' Caddy said. "'I'm not going to mind you,' Jason said. "'You have to,' Caddy said. "'Come on now, you have to do like I say.'
"'Make them be quiet, Versh,' Dilsey said. "'You all going to be quiet, ain't you?'
"'What do we have to be so quiet for tonight?' Caddy said.
"'Your mama ain't feeling well,' Dilsey said. "'You all go on with Versh now.'
"'I told you mother was crying,' Quentin said.
Versh took me up and opened the door onto the back porch. We went out, and Versh closed the door black. I could smell Versh and feel him.
You all be quiet now. We're not going upstairs yet.
Mr. Jason said for you to come right upstairs.
He said to mind me. I'm not going to mind you, but he said for all of us too, didn't he, Quentin?
I could feel Versh's head. I could hear us.
Didn't he, Versh?
Yes, that right. Then I say for us to go outdoors a while. Come on.
Versh opened the door and we went out. We went down the steps.
I expect we'd better go down to Versh's house so we'll be quiet, Caddy said.
Versh put me down and Caddy took my hand and we went down the brick walk.
Come on, Caddy said. That frog's gone.
He's hopped way over to the garden by now. Maybe we'll see another one.
Roscus came with the milk buckets. He went on. Quentin wasn't coming with us. He was sitting on the kitchen steps. We went down to Versh's house. I liked to smell Versh's house. There was a fire in it and TP squatting in his shirt tail in front of it, chunking it into a blaze. Then I got up and TP dressed me and we went to the kitchen and ate. Dilsey was singing and I began to cry and she stopped.
Keep him away from the house now, Dilsey said.
"'We can't go that way,' T.P. said. "'We played in the branch.
"'We can't go around yonder,' T.P. said. "'Don't you know Mammy say we can't?'
"'Dilsey was singing in the kitchen, and I began to cry.
"'Hush,' T.P. said. "'Come on, let's go down to the barn.'
"'Roscus was milking at the barn. "'He was milking with one hand and groaning. "'Some birds sat on the barn door and watched him. "'One of them came down and ate with the cows.' I watched Roscus milk while T.P. was feeding Queenie and Prince. The calf was in the pig pen. It nuzzled at the wire, bawling.
T.P., Roscus said.
T.P. said, sir, in the barn. Fancy held her head over the door because T.P. hadn't fed her yet.
Get done there, Roscus said. You got to do this milking. I can't use my right hand no more.
T.P. came and milked.
Why don't you get the doctor, T.P. said.
"'Doctor can't do no good,' Roscus said. "'Not on this place.'
"'What wrong with this place?' T.P. said.
"'Tain't no luck on this place,' Roscus said. "'Turn that calf in if you done.'
"'Tain't no luck on this place,' Roscus said.
"'The fire rose and fell behind him and Versh, "'sliding on his and Versh's face. "'Dilsey finished putting me to bed. "'The bed smelled like T.P. "'I liked it.
"'What you know about it?' Dilsey said. "'What trance you been in?'
"'Don't need no trance,' Roscus said. "'Ain't the sign of it laying right there on that bed? "'Ain't the sign of it been here for folks to see 15 years now?'
"'Suppose it is,' Dilsey said. "'It ain't hurt none of you and yourn, is it? "'Versh working and Frony married off your hands "'and T.P. getting big enough to take your place "'when the rheumatism finished getting you?'
"'They been two now,' Roscus said. "'Gonna be one more.' I seen the sign, and you is too.
I heard the squinch owl that night, T.P. said. Dan wouldn't come and get his supper, neither. Wouldn't come no closer than the barn. Begun howling right after dark. Versh heard him.
Gonna be more than one more, Dilsey said. Show me the man what ain't going to die, bless Jesus.
Dying ain't all, Roscus said.
I knows what you thinking, Dilsey said, and they ain't going to be no luck in saying that name less'n you going to set up with him while he cries.
"'They ain't no luck on this place,' Roscus said. "'I seen it at first, but when they changed his name, I knowed it.'
"'Hush your mouth,' Dilsey said.
She pulled the covers up. It smelled like T.P.
"'You all shut up now till he get to sleep.'
"'I seen the sign,' Roscus said.
"'Sign T.P. got to do all your work for you,' Dilsey said.
Take him and Quentin down to the house and let them play with Luster, where Frony can watch them, T.P.,
and go and help your paw." We finished eating. T.P. took Quentin up, and we went down to T.P.'s house. Luster was playing in the dirt. T.P. put Quentin down, and she played in the dirt, too. Luster had some spools, and he and Quentin fought, and Quentin had the spools. Luster cried, and Phrony came and gave Luster a tin can to play with. And then I had the spools, and Quentin fought me, and I cried. "Hush," Phrony said. "Ain't you ashamed of yourself, taking a baby's play pretty?" She took the spools from me and gave them back to Quentin. "Hush now," Phrony said. "Hush, I tell you." "Hush up," Phrony said. "You needs whippin', that's what you needs." She took Luster and Quentin up. "Come on here," she said. We went to the barn. T.P. was milking the cow. Roscus was sitting on the box. "What's the matter with him now?" Roscus said. "You have to keep him down here," Phrony said. "He fightin' these babies again, taking their playthings. Stay here with T.P. now, and see can you hush a while." "Clean that udder good now," Roscus said. "You milked that young cow dry last winter. If you milk this one dry, there ain't going to be no more milk." Dilsey was singing. "Not around yonder," T.P. said. "Don't you know Mammy say you can't go around there?" They were singing. "Come on," T.P. said. "Let's go play with Quentin and Luster. Come on." Quentin and Luster were playing in the dirt in front of T.P.'s house. There was a fire in the house, rising and falling, with Roscus sitting black against it. "That's three, thank the Lord," Roscus said. "I told you 2 years ago, there ain't no luck on this place." "Why don't you get out then?" Dilsey said. She was undressing me. "Your bad luck talk got them Memphis notions into verse. That ought to satisfy you."
"If that all the bad luck verse have," Roscus said.
Phrony came in. "You all done?" Dilsey said. "T.P. finishing up," Phrony said. "Miss Caroline wants you to put Quentin to bed." "I'm coming just as fast as I can," Dilsey said. "She ought to know by this time I ain't got no wings."
"That's what I tell you," Roscus said. "They ain't no luck gonna be on no place where one of their own chillen's name ain't never spoke."
"Hush," Dilsey said. "Do you want to get him started?"
"Raising a child not to know its own mammy's name," Roscus said.
"Don't you bother your head about her," Dilsey said. "I raised all of them, and I reckon I can raise one more. Hush now. Let him get to sleep if he will."
"Saying a name," Phrony said.
"He don't know nobody's name."
"You just say it and see if he don't," Dilsey said. "You say it to him while he's sleeping, and I bet he hear you." "He know lot more than folks thinks," Roscus said. "He knowed they time was coming like that pointer done. He could tell you when his'n coming if he could talk. Or yours. Or mine."
"You take Lust out in that bed, Mammy," Phrony said. "That boy conjure him."
"Hush your mouth," Dilsey said. "Ain't you got no better sense than that? What you want to listen to Roscus for, anyway? Get in, Benji."
Dilsey pushed me, and I got in the bed, where Luster already was. He was asleep. Dilsey took a long piece of wood and laid it between Luster and me. "Stay on your side now," Dilsey said. "Lust a little, and you don't want to hurt him."
"You can't go yet," T.P. said. "Wait."
We looked around the corner of the house and watched the carriages go away. "Now," T.P. said. He took Quentin up, and we ran down to the corner of the fence and watched them pass. "There he go," T.P. said. "See that one with the glass in it? Look at him. He laying in there. See him?"
"Come on," Luster said. "I'm going to take this here ball down home where I won't lose it."
"No, sir, you can't have it. If them men sees you with it, they'll say you stole it."
"Hush up now. You can't have it. What business you got with it? You can't play no ball."
Phrony and T.P. were playing in the dirt by the door. T.P. had lightning bugs in a bottle.
"How did you all get back out?" Phrony said.
"We've got company," Caddy said. "Father said for us to mind me tonight. I expect you and T.P. will have to mind me, too."
"I'm not going to mind you," Jason said. "Phrony and T.P. don't have to, either."
"They will if I say so," Caddy said. "Maybe I won't say for them, too."
"T.P. don't mind nobody," Phrony said. "Is they started the funeral yet?"
"What's a funeral?" Jason said.
"'Didn't Mammy tell you not to tell them?'
Verse said.
"'Where they moans,' Phrony said. "'They moaned 2 days on Sis Beulah Clay.'
"'They moaned at Dilsey's house. "'Dilsey was moaning. "'When Dilsey moaned, Luster said, "'Hush,' and we hushed, "'and then I began to cry, "'and Blue howled under the kitchen steps. "'Then Dilsey stopped, and we stopped.
"'Oh,' Caddy said, "'that's niggers. "'White folks don't have funerals.'
"'Mammy said us not to tell them, Phrony,' Verse said.
"'Tell them what?' Caddy said.
"'Dilsey moaned, and when it got to the place I began to cry, "'and Blue howled under the steps.
"'Luster,' Phrony said in the window, "'take them down to the barn. "'I can't get no cooking done with all that racket. "'That hound, too. Get them out in here.'
"'I ain't going down there,' Luster said. "'I might meet Pappy down there. "'I seen him last night waving his arms in the barn.'
"'I like to know why not,' Phrony said. "'White folks dies, too. "'Your grandmammy dead as any nigger can get, I reckon.'
"'Dogs are dead,' Caddy said, "'and when Nancy fell in the ditch and Roska shot her "'and the buzzards came and undressed her.' "'The bones rounded out of the ditch "'where the dark vines were in the black ditch "'into the moonlight, like some of the shapes had stopped. "'Then they all stopped, and it was dark, "'and when I stopped to start again, "'I could hear mother and feet walking fast away, "'and I could smell it.' Then the room came, but my eyes went shut. I didn't stop. I could smell it. T.P. unpinned the bedclothes.
Hush, he said, shh.
But I could smell it. T.P. pulled me up and he put on my clothes fast.
Hush, Benji, he said. We going down to our house.
You want to go down to our house where Phrony is?
Hush, shh.
He laced my shoes and put my cap on and we went out. There was a light in the hall. Across the hall we could hear Mother.
"'Shh, Benji,' T.P. said. "'We'll be out in a minute.'
A door opened, and I could smell it more than ever, and a head came out. It wasn't Father. Father was sick there.
"'Can you take him out of the house?'
"'That's where we goin', T.P. said. Dilsey came up the stairs.
"'Hush,' she said. "'Hush! Take him down home, T.P. Phrony fixin' him a bed.' You all look after him now. Hush, Benji. Go on with T.P.
She went where we could hear Mother.
Better keep him there.
It wasn't Father. He shut the door, but I could still smell it. We went downstairs. The stairs went down into the dark, and T.P. took my hand, and we went out the door, out of the dark. Dan was sitting in the backyard, howling.
He smell it, T.P. said. Is that the way you found it out?
We went down the steps where our shadows were.
"'I forgot your coat,' T.P. said. "'You ought to have it, but I ain't going back.'
Dan howled.
"'Hush now,' T.P. said.
Our shadows moved, but Dan's shadow didn't move except to howl when he did.
"'I can't take you down home bellerin' like you is,' T.P. said. "'You was bad enough before you got that bullfrog voice. Come on.'
We went along the brick walk with our shadows. The pig pen smelled like pigs. The cow stood in the lot chewing at us. Dan howled.
"'You gonna wake the whole town up,' T.P. said. "'Can't you hush?'
We saw Fancy eating by the branch. The moon shone on the water when we got there.
"'Naw, sir,' T.P. said. "'This too close. We can't stop here. Come on. Now just look at you. Got your whole leg wet. Come on here.'
Dan howled. The ditch came up out of the buzzing grass. The bones rounded out of the black vines.
"'Now,' T.P. said, "'beller your head off if you want to. "'You got the whole night in a 20-acre pasture to beller in.'
T.P. lay down in the ditch, and I sat down, watching the bones where the buzzards ate Nancy, flapping black and slow and heavy out of the ditch.
"'I had it when we was down here before,' Luster said. "'I showed it to you. Didn't you see it? "'I took it out of my pocket right here and showed it to you.'
"'Do you think buzzards are going to undress Damity?' Caddy said.
"'You're crazy.'
"'You're a skizzard,' Jason said. He began to cry.
"'You're a knob-knot,' Caddy said.
Jason cried. His hands were in his pockets.
"'Jason going to be rich man,' Verse said. "'He holding his money all the time.'
Jason cried.
"'Now you've got him started,' Caddy said. "'Hush up, Jason. How can buzzards get in where Damity is?' Father wouldn't let them. Would you let a buzzard undress you? Hush up now.
Jason hushed. "Phrony said it was a funeral," he said. "Well, it's not," Caddy said. "It's a party. Phrony don't know anything about it. He wants your lightning bugs, T.P. Let him hold it a while." T.P. gave me the bottle of lightning bugs. "I bet if we go round to the parlor window we can see something," Caddy said. "Then you'll believe me."
"I already knows," Phrony said. "I don't need to see."
"You better hush your mouth, Phrony," Verse said. "Mammy gonna whip you."
"What is it?" Caddy said.
"I knows what I knows," Phrony said.
"Come on," Caddy said. "Let's go around to the front."
We started to go.
"T.P. wants his lightning bugs," Phrony said.
"Let him hold it a while longer, T.P.," Caddy said. "We'll bring it back."
"You all never caught them," Phrony said.
"If I say you and T.P. can come too, will you let him hold it?" Caddy said.
"Ain't nobody said me and T.P. got to mind you," Phrony said.
"If I say you don't have to, will you let him hold it?" Caddy said.
"All right," Phrony said. "Let him hold it, T.P. We're going to watch them moaning."
"They ain't moaning," Caddy said. "I tell you, it's a party."
"Are they moaning, Verse?"
"We ain't going to know what they doing standing here," Verse said.
"Come on," Caddy said. "Phrony and T.P. don't have to mind me, but the rest of us do. You better carry him, Verse. It's getting dark."
Verse took me up, and we went on around the kitchen. When we looked around the corner, we could see the lights coming up the drive. T.P. went back to the cellar door and opened it.
"You know what's down there," T.P. said. "Soda water. I see Mr. Jason come up with both hands full of them. Wait here a minute."
T.P. went and looked in the kitchen door. Dilsey said, "What are you peeping in here for? Where's Benji?"
"He out here," T.P. said. "Go on and watch him," Dilsey said. "Keep him out of the house now."
"Yes'm," T.P. said. "Is they started yet?"
"You go on and keep that boy out of sight," Dilsey said. "I got all I can tend to."
A snake crawled out from under the house. Jason said he wasn't afraid of snakes, and Caddy said he was, but she wasn't, and Verse said they both were, and Caddy said to be quiet, like Father said.
"You ain't got to start bellerin' now," T.P. said. "You want some of this sarsaparilla."
It tickled my nose and eyes.
"If you ain't going to drink it, let me get to it," T.P. said.
"All right, here 'tis. We better get another bottle while ain't nobody bothering us. You be quiet now." We stopped under the tree by the parlor window. Verse set me down in the wet grass. It was cold. There were lights in all the windows.
"That's where Damity is," Caddy said. "She's sick every day now. When she gets well, we're going to have a picnic."
"I knows what I knows," Phrony said. The trees were buzzing, and the grass.
"The one next to it is where we have the measles," Caddy said. "Where do you and T.P. have the measles, Phrony?"
"Has 'em just wherever we is, I reckon," Phrony said.
"They haven't started yet," Caddy said.
"They getting ready to start," T.P. said. "You stand right here now while I get that box so we can see in the window. Here, let's finish drinking this here sarsaparilla. It make me feel just like a squinch owl inside." We drank the sarsaparilla, and T.P. pushed the bottle through the lattice under the house and went away. I could hear them in the parlor, and I clawed my hands against the wall. T.P. dragged the box. He fell down, and he began to laugh. He lay there, laughing into the grass. He got up and dragged the box under the window, trying not to laugh.
"I'm scared I'm gonna holler," T.P. said. "Get on the box and see as they started."
"They haven't started because the band hasn't come yet," Caddy said.
"They ain't gonna have no band," Phrony said.
"How do you know?" Caddy said.
"I knows what I knows," Phrony said.
"You don't know anything," Caddy said. She went to the tree.